Welcome to the 189th episode of the Young Terps podcast. Mason Viner alongside Jack Rothenberg, talking about the Terps win over Illinois 20-17 on Friday, and coming up on Saturday, hopefully a scoreboard reveal in a game against Kent State. Jack, what was your take on the Terps' late night win against Illinois?
Yeah, it was a valiant effort. They really stuck it out. They made it a close one. Had to have a fourth quarter comeback. I'm glad they got out of Champaign with the win, a 20-17 win. And I thought it showed a lot about the team, how they fought back and kind of persevered through a lot of, I don't want to say misfortune, but not great play out of the Terps.
Yeah, definitely not what Coach Loxley has talked about, not really what he was looking for. A couple fumbles from Maryland and one from Illinois that really bounced the wrong way, but that's going to happen. What was your take on what a lot of people have been saying, which is this is a game that Maryland would have lost 9 out of the last, or maybe 99 out of the last 100 times. Did you see it that way?
Yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks on the podcast. This reminded me a lot of that Temple game a couple years ago. It just seemed like they were bound to lose because they were playing pretty poorly, and it just didn't seem like they were getting the right bounces. You mentioned that fumble that was then picked up and ran for a touchdown, kind of a fluke play. But it just didn't seem like anything was going the Terps' direction. But they ended up turning it around in the fourth quarter, and it showed a lot about them. And I think going into this Kent State game, it was a big confidence booster.
Yeah, I think one of the points from last week's game that not a lot of people have been talking about is Maryland actually started the second half like they were going to open the game up and possibly win in a blowout. They get the ball, they score a touchdown, they get it again, and Teyon Fleet Davis fumbles on about the 14-yard line, and that kind of stopped Maryland's momentum. That's kind of my key point in the game. Maryland has had some slow starts over the last couple of years and been able to pull it together, but when they're stopped like that, when the game flips on the road in a conference game, they've never really responded to that play, and they did just enough, and that's going to be what happens the first time you do it, but they come away with the win. Are there any kicking concerns for this team? Joseph Petrino misses a kick early, but he knocks in the game-winning. What's your take on the Terps kicker?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned as of now. It was a road environment. I think if this continues, there's cause for concern, but as of right now, I don't think there's much to be concerned about. In the past, he's been great for the Terps. He's made some big kicks, especially because he nailed the game winner. I think that was a kind of a big turning point. Not that I was worried when he missed a couple kicks earlier, but once you nail that game winner, I think it just gives him a lot of confidence and he can move forward into the rest of the season with what I think is going to be a good season for him. So I don't have any concern. What about you, Mason?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit, but not too much. I think people over-exaggerate what kind of kicker he is just because of the expectation he set coming in his freshman season. He definitely looked like one of the top kicking prospects in the country and an NFL kicker after his freshman year. Now, that has not been the case over the past three seasons. I kind of subtract the 2019 year from that because Maryland, if you remember, wouldn't even kick a field goal. They attempted, I believe, three that entire season, and were 1 for 3, and the other two were blocked. So Mike Loxley didn't even believe they could block for their field goal kicker in 2019. I think now they clearly can. I think that did some damage to his confidence and did some damage to special teams unit confidence at Maryland. But I don't think he's too much of a concern. He's not a guy that is automatic by any stretch, but I think he gives you a chance from about 52 in. I think he gives you about a 75, 78% chance to make the long kicks and closer to the high 80s on the short ones. And look, if you look around the country right now, a lot of teams' number one weakness is the kicking position and being able to recruit that with a lack of film from high school football. So Maryland is in a pretty good place as far as I'm concerned with a veteran kicker, but definitely something that a lot of people have been putting down as a concern.
Yeah, and a different concern for me, I don't know about you, I want to get your take on this, was Leah. If you look back at the stats, he had a great game when it comes to the stat sheet. He was 32 of 43 with 350 yards and a touchdown. But to me, especially early, and as you mentioned, after that Teyon Fleet Davis fumble, he just seemed very uneasy in the pocket, kind of getting rid of the ball a little too early and flushing out a little bit too much. What did you think about his performance?
Yeah, I did not think it was great, and I think it is massively over rating him that he is now fourth in some Heisman polls that I've seen. I do not think that he's that guy at this point in his career. And really, as much as I like him as a player and I like his mentality, he gets shaken quickly when things are not going well. His movement to the second read is not where it needs to be. It's definitely not an NFL-level quarterback. But given that, he battled through it. You can see the year-over-year progression of a guy who still only started. This will be his eighth or ninth start. Jack, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's his eighth start coming up on Saturday. You can't really expect too much when he's rattled on the road in his first game also with fans. He only played in blowouts at Alabama. Last year, obviously, no attendance anywhere for Maryland other than family and close friends. So there's not really a lot to go off of. I think that it was an inspiring performance, that he battled through it, made the big throws down the line, but definitely not a Heisman caliber player in my book. But when I look around college football, I don't see many that are.
Yeah, and I don't want to harp on him too much, but I saw Robert Griffin III posted his top five Heisman candidates, and Lee was fourth, which I totally agree. I don't believe that he's that guy as of now, and I think people are looking at him a little bit too highly. And I know he started out the season pretty well, but I really don't think he's there.
And I think this game coming up on Saturday against an opponent, Kent State, that's seen a lot of good football teams this year, Texas A&M and Iowa being the main ones, and they've kept those games close for some time before letting both of them get out of hand, a 41-10 loss to the Aggies and a 32-7 loss last week in Kinnick against Iowa. This is kind of like I said last week, it was a big defining game for Coach Locksley. I think this is a huge game for Lua Tagovailoa, and for the reason of he should be able to throw five touchdowns, get out another week, turnover free, and throw for over 300 yards, in my opinion, against the Kent State defense that just does not have the talent that Maryland's receivers do. But can he do that? Can he make that next play? Going back a couple years ago to when Maryland lost to UCF, who ended up being, you know, a 12-0 team that had a claim in the national championship, when Kasim Hill was in that game, after two big performances, he got rattled quickly against a team that Maryland thought they should have the upper hand on. Now, they probably didn't. But this week, I think it's that first drive, that scripted drive that Leah's so good with that is very important to this game. Or I do think it could get ugly, at least early. I am picking Maryland, but I think Kent State makes it a game for some time like they did against both Texas A&M and Iowa.
Yeah, Maryland opens that game. I think I saw today as a 14.5-point favorite. So a lot of people are riding with the Terps. But I definitely agree with you. I think the Terps need to come out strong because, as you said, this Kent State team has played a bunch of good teams close. And if Maryland doesn't come out and punch them in the face immediately, they could get behind. And as we saw in this Illinois game, it takes kind of a lot for them to muster a comeback and get all the way back to, like, winning and all that stuff. So I think they definitely need to come out strong. And I think Loxley is going to come with the right plays and get the right people involved at the beginning of the game.
Well, that's their whole philosophy, Jack, as I'm sure you've heard, is it's about the player that gets the ball, not necessarily the play. We got to get our best players the ball all the time, which is something that I love and something that I think they've done a fairly decent job at this year. Comment on one thing that you said. The betting world is not big fans of the Maryland Terrapins. Week one, sharp money on West Virginia against the Terps. Maryland obviously wins that one outright. And then last week, a lot of bettors around the world had Maryland as their top bet on the spread. The Terps do not cover what was 7.5-point spread against Illinois. So Maryland, not the most popular team in the betting world. And I think 14.5, I know I said 7 was short last week. I think 14.5 is definitely short for the Terps. I would put the money on Maryland on the spread, but I always take old Grandpa Bruce's advice and only bet the money line on my teams. I've learned that lesson hard over the years.
Yeah, definitely. So what are you definitely looking forward to for this upcoming game against Kent State? What are your three keys for Maryland to definitely pull out the win?
My first key is on defense, they have to dominate the line of scrimmage. This is a unit that's now banged up. A lot of those freshmen that Coach Locksley brought to the table this last recruiting cycle were in the game last week. This is kind of one of those games where going into a short week, another short week, do you rest guys like Mo Kite and Ami Finau, guys who have been a little bit banged up, and let your Greg Roses and Taz Johnson in there and kind of, you know, shorten the game for some of your starters who you're definitely going to need next week if you want to compete? Or are you 100% focused on winning this week and you're going to play all your guys through their injuries A banged up front for the Terps, that's my number one key, is can they dominate the line of scrimmage? My number two key is what happens in the defensive backfield, which was a fairly short unit going into the season. It looks like Deontay Banks may have had a season-ending shoulder injury. Without him, Tarheeb still kind of steps into that number one corner position while they had him kind of floating around. He has not impressed many this year. I think Tarheeb still is a player to watch. And if a four-star wide receiver recruit, Isaiah Hazel out of Wise High School, if he can get into the rotation of defensive back, they've had him listed. Levante Gator, obviously, did not make the smartest play last week, but they will need him moving forward.
Yeah, something I'm looking forward to this weekend to see is if the defensive front can keep up the pressure they showed against Illinois. They recorded 6 sacks on Friday night, and I think it played a key role in kind of turning the momentum of the game at some points in big third downs, whether it was coming up with pressure to force that Nick Cross interception. I think they can play a big role for this team, and I think on Saturday it could turn the tide once again. And obviously, I feel like every week we talk about this, but Leah's always going to be one of the big storylines for me. I think he needs to come out, play well against Kent State, and I think he will. Coming back home, I think it's a great opportunity for him to bounce back. And I know, looking at the stat sheet, he played well last week, but it's another good week to show everybody that he can play at the level that he's playing at.
Yeah, Maryland not playing the most impressive pass defense or passing game on Saturday. The Kent State quarterback, Dustin Crum, against A&M and Iowa. Against Texas A&M, he was 12 for 26 for 89 yards and threw 2 interceptions. A little bit better performance against the Hawkeyes. Crum finished out that game 16 for 23, 185 yards and a touchdown. So they're not playing the most impressive offense. My last key to the game, Jackie, is kind of what you just said. Can Maryland's quarterback play maintain the level they need to? Can they continue to get the ball out quick? And another spot where they've seen some injuries is on that offensive line. They've been shuffling guys around all year, just getting a lot of players game time, as they're going to need at some point, some guys to step up, maybe Moran or Eric Harris, who their center, who they pulled out of junior college, has been very good this year. But they've been moving guys around up front. Can they stay healthy up front and really get out of this game injury-free? Another player that's been getting a lot of focus, kind of moving on from the keys to the game, is Jayshon Jones. He makes a big play on Friday night. A lot of talk this week about how his injuries have affected him. He's now completely, or he feels he's completely back from that ACL injury. Do you think Maryland should go to Jayshon Jones as their third wide receiver target, or should they continue that position by committee with Darryl Jones, Brian Cobbs, and Jayshon Jones?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. They've been searching for that third option. I think he fits that role perfectly. I know we've Dante Dimas, Rock Jarrett. I think Jayshon Jones has that. He's that speedy guy, change of direction. He can step up and be that guy, and he showed that on Friday. So I think he's the perfect person that can be that third guy. And he's been in this offense enough to for many years now to know his role and be the person that the Terps need him to be. So I think he's perfect. I don't know about you, Mason.
Yeah, I like how physical he is, and he has no quit in him. There's no doubt about that. You know, he's fought through the adversity with the injuries. He hasn't really lived up to all the hype, and a lot of that's on the injuries and the changing of offensive scheme. Matt Canada's scheme really favored Jayshon Jones. Michael Oxley's, he's had a bit of trouble fitting into, obviously, with the injury last year, some penalties that not many Terps fans liked and that Coach Oxley didn't like last year. But Rock Jarrett said something about this last week in an article in the Diamondback, where he feels that Dimas can stretch the field long. Rock Jarrett can play, he runs those mid routes, and my mistake, it was one of the coaches that said that, not Jarrett. But Jayshon Jones is that perfect route runner to go along the two, kind of take away, make the defense look another place over the middle so Jarrett can get loose more. And when he touches the ball, you know, it's electric. Jayshon Jones can be that guy because he runs routes so well. I really do like Darryl Jones. I think he's a big vertical threat for this team. He's a really shifty player that can do a lot. It's going to be a matter of who can find the consistencies, who can get those touches and make those plays. And that's the guy that Coach Locks is going to determine is the best player to get the ball. And that's who's going to see the time on the field. I still think it's undecided. Jack, score prediction time for this week. What do you have the Terps going up against Kent State?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Maryland 38, Kent State 17. What about you, Mason?
I think the Terps break the 40 barrier. I got Maryland 45, Kent State 24. So another week with pretty similar picks from both of us. And, you know, it's a game that you just have to win. It's a big game for Maryland Stadium. Getting those new scoreboards in, it should be live by the end of this week and ready to go for Saturday and then ready to go for next week. If Maryland can win this game, tees up a huge Friday night matchup against a top five Iowa team next week. But you just got to get over the hump. You got to win the next game, win the game in front of you. And I think that's what this team is focused on. Jack, any last thoughts?
Yeah, as you said, just take it one game at a time. I know everyone wants to look at that Iowa game because it would be a huge game at home, but Kent State is no team to mess with. You were talking earlier, they've played a bunch of good teams this year already. They've kept it close for a good amount of time. So Maryland needs to come out, play well, take care of business, and then move on to that game.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. For Mason, that was Jack Rothenberg. And as always, thanks for listening.